thought it wasn't very cheerful, didn't I?
Yeah.
And it almost sounds like preparing dinner in the first bit.
Yeah.
This is Micah speaking to the leaders and the rulers of the people. These are the ones who are in charge, the people who've got influence and power and authority. And he describes them as saying they should know justice, but do they know justice? No, because they hate good and love evil. Mm-hmm. So that's the description of him, and then he gives us this rather graphic account. I assume he's not speaking literally, but he's saying, he's basically, I mean, we would say the phrase, they're fleeced folk people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they fleece people. You know what we mean by that?
Yeah.
They take advantage of them, they clean them out and everything else. But it comes literally from meaning, the idea to take the fleece off a sheep, of course. Mm-hmm. And he's using that phrase literally with animals here. So he says, you tear the skin from my people. He's describing the people, or basically they're treating the people as animals, so that's the idea, yeah? And so, you tear the skin from my people, and the flesh from their bones, and who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin, break their bones in pieces, who chop them up for like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot. Well, have you ever made a stew? Well, that's what he's talking about, really, but he's saying that's how they treated people. Do you know why they chop up the bones?
The marrow.
The marrow, yes, it's a thickening agent, yeah. Yeah, well, it's all very nice making dinner, but it's the way they're treating people, that's the idea. Taking terrible advantage of people, wicked things to do. Yeah, so what's going to happen to them? Verse 4, then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At that time he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done. They reap what they sow. If they leave God out, well, God will leave them out.
He'll judge them.
He'll judge them eventually.
Oh, yeah. You know, for what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah, ultimately they're going to have to face the music because they're completely unrepentant. That's the point he's getting at. Yeah. Now, the question I want to ask you is, how did people get to that stage? I mean, I don't suppose that when they were born, they were sweet little babies, you know, and how did they turn out to be such a nasty bunch?
Greed,
money, power corrupts, doesn't it? People get in positions of power and they want to stay there, come what may. It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, ordinary. I'm sure they're ordinary people to start with.
Being the proud.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, and it's experience as well. I mean, a lot of people, even in this world today, you know, they have a parent that abuses them or calls them stupid, and they grow up and they're doing things that
they pass it on. Damaged people do damage. That's quite often the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I just really trying to apply it to myself in a way, and I suppose we can say to all of us is, you know, I don't suppose they started out intending to be as nasty as they turned out to be. And what is it that prevents us from getting to that stage? I mean, it's all there, but for the grace of God, really. You know. God's given us ways to get out of the mess that they've got themselves into.
I was the nastiest person you could know, I'll tell you.
Right, well,
we believe you,
Janice.
Yeah, we know, right.
I was listening to David Paulson, and he was just saying, you know, when you're teaching your children what to do, you know, they know one way, but you have to tell them to say no, you have to guide them.
Yeah,
you know, we're born simple.
Sin comes very easily, doesn't it?
Yeah. That way, they know one way, but they don't know the other.
Yeah.
And then if you don't teach the other,
right from wrong,
and these leaders work out, and it says, and they everything else, they're teaching them the wrong way.
And the reason they've gone the wrong way is they've got there, but they hate good and love evil. That's the sinful nature. And the resistance to wanting to do what's right is there with all of us. But why is Micah having a go at the leaders?
Because
they're responsible. Yeah. They set examples for others and so on. Yeah, so that's one of the things. And what would we describe as the leaders today in our society?
The
politicians, yes, the people in power.
The church leaders too.
We'll come to the church leaders in the next few verses in a way, I'm thinking of the secular. These are secular. I mean, it wasn't a secular state or something, but these are secular leaders, and these are people in positions of power, and they're abusing it. That's really what's going on.
Yeah.
Mike is called by God to have a word against them, and you know that's what we're meant to be in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're allowed to write to your MPs and whatever to express your concern about some of the things that are going on. And that's good. We should do that.
All that abuse in the church.
Mm. Yes.
The church, I mean,
yeah.
It goes down the line and. To
they get damaged as well. So, yeah, well, that's, I'm thinking of the secular ones first, right? So that's where he's talking first about people who were in charge of society, and they set an example, and it's a very bad example that they're setting. Yeah.
I wrote to our MP 3 times and never got an answer.
I wrote back. I didn't get an answer because I was talking to him about Israel and said I wanted him to table it for the Prime Minister, and he didn't respond to me. And I wrote back and I said every time I write to you and congratulate you on what you've done, I got a quick response.
Yeah.
I said, no, because I said it's unpalatable to some people that you're not responding to me. I said, but it's important to me.
Right.
So please, and I got a response.
I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
You have to be persistent. Yes. Yeah. Well, Michael has been criticised for keeping going, as we'll see. Well, let's look at our next verse. God says, the judgment will come on them. If they refuse to acknowledge God, then the results will be that they'll cry out and they won't get any answers. Mm. When they're in trouble, I mean, people who are in trouble and they're crying out to them, they ignore.
Yeah.
Like, well, God says, well, when it comes to your turn, do you know what's going to happen? I'll ignore you.
Yes.
Right, okay. So verse 5, this is what the Lord says, as for the prophets who lead my people astray. Now, who are the prophets? What are the prophets in their society?
That's the Pharisees.
The religious leaders. Yeah, they weren't Pharisees and Sadducees in these days.
Yes, no.
This is before the Pharisees turned up. But, I mean, they were Pharisees in nature, even if they didn't have the name. Yeah?
Yes.
These are the prophets. These are the religious leaders, we call them.
Mm-hmm.
So who are the religious leaders that are in our society today?
Well,
we
have the Church of England.
Well,
you're
me.
You're one of them.
Me. He was one of them, and all.
Yeah. I was. I remind him regularly.
You remind him that regularly. Very good. Yeah. Obviously the bishops, archbishops, and other church leaders.
They're not saying anything.
They're not saying anything. They're saying something that's not good.
That's
he says,
not right.
As for the prophets who lead my people astray.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 What are they doing? Is they're turning people away from God?
Yes.
To stuff
idolatry,
one form or another, it was in their time, of course. They're not teaching what God wants them to say. That's the thing. That's so they're leading people astray.
Yes.
And that's why in James he says, those who teach are held in greater responsibility than those others are, because, you know, what you do affects other people.
Yeah.
That's true for all of us, really, brothers and sisters, you know, but for those who are in positions of teaching responsibilities, woe betide us if we don't tell people the right things.
Yeah. Caroline was talking about on Sunday, I mean, we should all be working for those Kairos moments.
Yes.
It's not just for you.
No, that's right.
You know, I mean, you know, people stand up in church and share stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just for us.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's important. Yeah, when people say something, they better make sure that they're getting God's word on it. Yes.
But it's like us. I mean, do we go out and talk to people about God?
Yes.
Well, do we meet anybody and do we tell them, are you a Christian? Do you know what it's all about? We don't say, men, one of us. I mean, sometimes I think, is it time for me to speak?
Yeah.
And I think you use discernment, really. Because
you must
sometimes it's right for you. But I try to do when I meet somebody.
Yeah.
If I go somewhere, if I go to the hairdresser, if I go to anywhere, and I ask them, and I don't care what they say. Absolutely.
To say something in front of a lot of people, that's not easy, Well, these are the religious leaders. He says they lead their people astray, and one of the characteristics that marks them out, he says, if one feeds them, they proclaim peace. If he does not, they prepare to wage war against him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what are they in it for?
Money.
What they can get.
Yes.
Money is most of the time, but if somebody feeds them, everything's nice.
Yeah.
We'll say, the Lord's good, he's going to bless you, it's all wonderful. Yeah. Keep paying, please. Yeah?
That's right.
And while you're doing that, everything sounds great. But the moment you dry up the funds, they get nasty. Interestingly, they might find this rather remarkable. There's some Christians who run the thing called Christian Concern, I don't know if you heard, they're lawyers who are trying to help believers who are having real issues with the society, and the leader of that, the founder of that group, is a lady, and she's a member of the synod, the synod, and she spoke up in the synod, and she was berated by other bishops and clergy, really tore a strip off her for standing up what was right, Well, one of the churches in York, in the York Diocese, they took real umbrage with the official party over this. And do you know what their decision was? Because you can complain all you like, and they'll say, yes, we'll make note of that, we'll hear what you're saying. Right. We hear what you're saying, and we're as deaf as anything, Do you know what they did? They stopped paying in the funds. Well, that really upset the apple cart. And the vicar that did that, was asked, invited by a Christian union to speak at, I think it was St. Albans, it was going to be in the cathedral, and the authority says he's not allowed to come. Because he's not funding their ways. He's a true prophet, whereas all these others say they feed us and, you know, keep paying and everything's wonderful. But the moment you stop the dosh, war. It's war. Right, so that's them then. It says, therefore, what's going to happen to them? Night will come over you without visions, and darkness without divination. God's going to close the taps. They're not going to see anything, they're not going to get anything, and as a result, the sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them. So, God's turning the light off. The seers will be ashamed. They're the sort of fortune tellers, and the diviners. They will be disgraced. They will all cover their faces. And why are they covering their faces? To hide shame. Because there's no answer from God. They've finally been shown to be the charlatans that they are. And so God is showing them up. That's what he's warning them about.
And the thing is, I mean, when you lie, it does show in your face, doesn't it?
Interesting, I read that the other day, human beings can lie, but usually somehow their face can give it away. It comes in when I'm speaking on Sunday, when it says about Laban's sons, they took offence at him, at Jacob, because he was doing very nicely now. And he says,
that's right.
Now the son said it, but the father thought it. But Jacob could see it in father's face. All right, well, anyway, that's by the by at the moment.
When your toddlers say things that you've said and repeat it to somebody, you don't want to hear it. You can tell by looking at a parent, can't you?
Well, okay. Verse 8, anyway. This is Micah speaking. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Well, that's wonderful. Dear Micah, how does he feel?
Quite.
Well, I would imagine he's sad in one way.
Yes.
But he's good in the other, that he feels, well, I've done my bit.
He really does feel energized to do this thing that God's called him to do. That's not easy, but you do need, I mean, anybody who's trying to tell somebody things they don't want to hear, you're going to need God's wisdom and power to do it.
I'll give you, well, last week, my cleaners, they're atheists, and it's a man and wife team, and oh dear me, and then the day before they came, I went around my house with the blessing of Israel playing all around the house, and when they came the next day, the lady said something about what's the troubles in the world, and I said, well, don't you worry about that, my love. I said, because there will be a new heaven and a new earth, I said, and all these things will be passed, I said, and it will be just lovely. And she just looked at me and she didn't say a word.
But she thought she'd lost the plot. That's what she thought,
thank the Lord, because normally they'd be arguing with
me. They was quite good down there.
But they listened.
With a funny smile, I'll bet. You need the power of God to do those things, really.
When you went round your rooms, as you say.
This is the blessing. I had it all.
Wherever they were.
It's the Israel blessing that they do, and I played it, and I went all around the place.
Oh, very nice.
So you're in touch with God before, you know.
You
should be.
Well, Micah is describing how he feels really, you know. Well, he senses, I mean, I suppose we all do this, we can sense the wrong and the injustices that we see in society, and it stirs you up a bit, I suppose, but Mike is not just stirred up by basic emotion, it's God who's moving him to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded about dear Jeremiah. Jeremiah felt a bit like this at one point, but he'd been going for quite a few years telling people that judgment was coming, and they locked him up and put him in prison for one of the times anyway. But basically, Jeremiah, at one point, if you read his book, he says, Lord, I've had enough. I'm giving up. I'm packing it in. I'm not saying any more.
Yes.
I'll just say nothing.
Yes.
He says, and then what happened? The word was like fire in my bones.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell him, Lord.
Yeah.
So it's the spirit at work. That's what's happening in Micah. Yes. God's stirring him up to speak.
Yes.
And it's no good telling people there's medicine if they don't know they're sick.
That's right.
That's the point, really.
Yes.
That's the medicine is the Jesus cross, his precious blood. Mm. And what's it cured for? It's for sin. That's if you don't realise the sin, then you won't want to know it. Yeah?
Yeah.
What God is doing is with this chap, he's pointing out the things they've done wrong in the hope that their conscience will start to say, you're right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And he's to declare Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. I mentioned at the time, different words for sin. You know, it's going over the mark, not reaching the mark, the bias inside us and all of that. Yeah. And he's to tell that... Israel was a unique nation. I mean, the pagans carried on their own sweet ways and did all their horrible stuff, or good stuff as the case may be. But for Israel, God says, you're my people, I'm telling you what goes here.
Yes.
And the prophet was the man that was to tell him that.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's, in a sense, what we don't go out to condemn the world, right? But we are here to tell the people in the church, this is what God's standards are. Paul talks about in Corinth, he says, you know, there's someone in your church, in your congregation, who's seriously sinning, even worse than the pagans, and you think it's okay, you chuck him out. And Paul says, it's not my job to judge the outsiders, our job is to sort out the lot on the inside. Well, Mike is trying to do that, because theoretically, these are Israelite insiders, but they're far away from God, as most of them are. But anyway, so he's got that, so he's fired up, and verse 9, hear this, you leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel. So he's talking back to the top lot again, the politicians, you'd say, who despise justice and distort all that is right. My goodness me. That's what they were doing. They were twisting the law. Well, do they do that today?
Yes, they do.
Our government's doing it.
Our government's doing it. They're changing the laws.
All the
family issues. The government is at the moment changing the whole matter of education for children in schools.
Politicians, yes.
Yeah? Poisoning our kids' minds. That's what they're aiming to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, despise justice, distort all what's right. Ah, thank you, Jill.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
thank you. I meant to say that when I was talking about the prophets, the church is the prophets in one sense, but the prophets also are the media. They're the ones who are giving out the vision sounds.
Right.
Yeah. And the media are peace when you're feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you disagree with them,
they'll
cut you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was talking to a gentleman in the barbers yesterday, and he was a dog handler at the prison. He's retired now, but he's in contact on various chat lines in the States were about dog handling and training dogs and so on, and he said he's been cut off so many sites because he dared to express an opinion that disagreed with them. And I mean, it wasn't vile opinions. He was saying is that because in an American system they were using electric controls to shock the dogs in order to control them and perform. He says, I don't believe in electrocuting dogs. I can get them to do what I want to do without having to do that. I've done it for 20 years, it works. They cut him off. They don't like opposite opinion. That's the media, the false prophets I call them now, but the same idea. So thank you, Jill.
The media,
the BBC, BBC may be good at the weather. I love the BBC for the weather. Yeah, and they may be good for other bits and bobs, but if there's anything about Israel, ignore what they say, because they'll have got the wrong end all to start with. Yeah, and plenty of other things besides. Yeah,
they put themselves up in society as something to be
honest, yes.
Don't they?
And if you went by the BBC or the media as to how many gays are there in Britain in society percentage wise. Yeah? If you saw the BBC, if you look at the frequency in which they mention gay and LGBTQ, XYZ and everything else, yeah? All that lot, you would think there was about 50% of the population were like that.
Yeah.
2% at the most.
Yeah.
Well, that's their bias. They're pushing. That's the profits. And they're doing it because that's the way they're paid. Yeah. No, it's propaganda. Yeah, it's not media. It's not news. It's propaganda.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but you might have known that already, but it's a fact. Yeah. And so Micah has got to go at the media. In his day, the profits were the media. That's the point, yeah. Verse 10, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. So he's not just talking to the north now, he's talking to the whole nation. And that's verse 10. Build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Do you think that was literal? It might have been. I mean, these judges can send people down and have them executed.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Just because they got a nice bribe, he's for the chop. They can do that. Jerusalem with wickedness, the backhanders that go into the way the systems work, the bribes, the systems, I don't know. But it doesn't look good. Right, verse 11. Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price. We're back to that old story. And her prophets tell fortunes for money. That's Micah chapter 3, verse 11. Yeah. Her leaders judge for a bribe. Do they judge? Well, it's not what God calls judging, but basically, and this, I'm sorry to say this again, but who gets justice in society today are those who can pay for it.
Yes.
Money.
Strange, isn't it? That's, in a sense, it's not injustice the judges dispense. I mean, they're judging, I'm assuming they're good judges. They're deciding the cases on its merit, but the only cases they see are the ones who can afford to bring them. Yeah. That's justice for you. It isn't justice. No.
Still better in this country.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But doesn't it excuse them, of course.
No.
Anyway, it is better than plenty of other parts in the world. I was reading an article yesterday. Yes, it was. Yes, it was about Gandhi and Nelson Mandela, and he's saying is that their model for achieving justice in society was peaceful resistance. And the chap said, that's all very good if the people you are resisting are open to hearing what you're saying. I mean, it was in South Africa and in India, for example. It was the Raj, the British Empire. Imperfect as they were, they did believe in a system of justice. And what he was saying was, it's no good using the Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela model when it comes to dealing with Islam. Because Islam is not interested in listening to what you've got to say. They're not interested in discussion. They're interested in taking over and destroying the Western culture. So peaceful resistance against Islam, what will it result in? You getting smashed. Anyway, there we are, dear friends. That's life for you, isn't it? Okay, so their priests teach for a price. They're in it for the money. Her prophets tell fortunes for the money. And yet they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. Isn't that strange? Basically, here are the people, and I'm saying the hierarchy of the church, they'll say, we believe what it says in the book, you know, we believe the book, but it's not my book. They believe that and see. They're interpreting it their own way. They won't believe Genesis. There are fairy story there. And it's all symbols and that stuff. So they say, we believe the book, but they don't believe the book. They use a chap called Francis Schaeffer, philosopher some years ago. He says the time will come, and he was not too far off in the future, when people use what they call God words, but they don't mean the same as we do. I was talking to Rebecca, my daughter, about the little article on front of the Good News newspaper about what's the name?
Megan.
Megan, yes. Well, as I say, I don't know much about her, but Rebecca knows more than I do. But I said, I didn't think her idea of Christianity was my idea. And Rebecca says, she's a friend, Dad, of Oprah Winfrey's. And if she believes what Oprah Winfrey believes, she doesn't know what Christianity is.
Wasn't this Megan who had the had that chap preach at the wedding.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
And do you regard him as a Christian?
No. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. Interesting. He was specially picked. What he said was right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you talk to him. Why was he chosen? Because he's leading the gay agenda in America.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He's leading. One of the leaders of the gay agenda in America. He was specially picked for that time. Yeah. All the church people knew that. But he's such a great preacher. Give him some welly. Yeah. Good stuff. And God's words. I don't know how much he meant. But if he believes the gay agenda, he's got problems with some bits of the Bible, I can tell you.
But the thing is, somebody who is totally away from God can be used of God.
Absolutely, yes.
And I do think he was used
of
God.
Yeah, I'm fine, yes. Yes, yes. The donkey, Balaam's donkey, was used by God. I have no problem with the gay Balaam's donkey. But don't say they're Christians.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, there you are, false prophets, you name them, they're all around. Yes, now, so he's warning them. Here they are, they're saying, God's with us, we've got God. They're using that as a false crutch, really, because it happened again later in Jeremiah's time. They're saying, the temple of the Lord, we've got the temple. Mm-hmm. It's got to be okay, we've got the temple. God says, temple's going.
Yeah.
And so the last verse is a really interesting verse in this chapter. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be ploughed like a field, Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, and the Temple Hill a mound overgrown with thickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's going downhill fast and going to be destroyed. Jerusalem is going. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly, this verse is quoted in the time of Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the reference now.
Jeremiah 26:18.
Thank you. Jeremiah 26:18, if you go to that then.
Yes, I've got that.
Oh, you got it, good.
Well, I haven't got it yet, but that's my indication.
Jeremiah 26, verse 18. It's a quote there. This is what the Lord Almighty says, Zion will be ploughed like the field, Jerusalem like a heap of rubble, the temple, hill, and mound of overgrown with thickets. Yep. Now, that verse is, what's happening is that the people in the time of the king then, he's called Jehoiakim, with an M, yeah? Jehoiakim was a bad king.
Mm.
And when Jeremiah starts prophesying judgment, Jehoiakim threatens to have Jeremiah put to death.
Right.
Yeah? Because he's saying bad things about Jerusalem. He's not being a supporter of the nation, you'd say, that sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And so the king says, we'll put him to death. And some of the king's attendants, the good guys, say, you can't do that. Yeah, because even in the time of Hezekiah, that's 200 years beforehand, even in the time of Hezekiah, people said things like Jeremiah is saying, they didn't put them to death.
Mm-hmm.
And they quote Micah here, there's that verse there, and then verse 19, did Hezekiah, king of Judah, or anyone else in Judah, put him to death? Did not Hezekiah fear the Lord and seek his favour?
Mm.
Yeah? So, in the time of Micah, when he first gave this prophecy, he's saying to the leaders, to the people in the north, it's rotten, God's going to judge you. Did they listen?
No.
He says to the people in the south, it's rotten, God's going to judge you. Did they listen?
No.
Yes, they did. Yes. Look at verse in Jeremiah verse 19, he says, did not Hezekiah fear the Lord and seek his favour, and did not the Lord relent so that he did not bring the disaster he pronounced against them? So the leaders in Micah's day in the south took note of what Micah said. They believed what the prophet said. They turned from their sin, Hezekiah being the main leader at the time, and as a result the disaster was averted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but the threat still stands, and Jeremiah repeats it effectively, and what Jeremiah is doing is simply saying what Micah said. And do you know, did they in the time of Jeremiah, did they listen to what Micah and Jeremiah said?
No,
they didn't.
was holding off on it.
He was holding off. He held off for 200 years.
Mm.
Right? And in the time of Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, look, God's going to judge us if we carry on the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
And did they believe him? Did Jehoiakim repent? No, he didn't. And do you know what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came and trashed the place.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly as Micah prophesied, exactly as Jeremiah had said, God's word was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
But the point we're bringing back all of this is, why did the prophets prophesy? Was to get people back to God. Yes, to get the prophets speaking God's word, to get the leaders giving justice, in order that God could bless them.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't want to judge them, he wants to bless them.
Yeah.
But if they won't listen, the only way to cure them is to judge them.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's it. I rest my case.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Cheerful, isn't it?
Thank God for Jesus.
They're on dangerous ground.
See?
They're on dangerous ground.
On dangerous ground. Yeah, well, pray for our leaders, for the media, the people who are in the religious leadership as well, because if it looks like what I see it's like, we're ripe for judgment.
How about speaking in their life to Jesus?
Yeah. Now they're different though to what we've been speaking about.
Yeah.
The people who have been touched by the Lord and are genuinely one of his, although salvation's a process. You're not perfect by the time you're saved, you know.
No.
Yeah. So there's a process going on. For some, the process has got stuck. Yeah, like yourself,
long time
stuck. But
I was doing nothing.
Yeah, and then God began to reawaken what he'd put there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's different to those who are in positions of power and responsibility,
and
who are teaching, and they know what they're saying, mm-hmm. and they know this is the stuff that people want to hear,
mm-hmm.
not what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's do they know, isn't it?
I think they do.
He's changing us from glory
yes.
to glory
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I mean those people who are in positions of teaching power, I do feel
they know
what they're
yeah.
trying to tell us.
Mm, yes.
And what they're trying to tell us isn't what God wants.
Because they haven't really experienced God personally.
That's possibly so as well. There was a lovely account given, it was in the time of, I think it was Wesley's and others, but the minister was speaking, and he was talking about preaching on the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's a good man, but he wasn't saved.
Mm-hmm.
He started preaching and all of a sudden he got it. I think it was on the Easter day as well. And
yeah.
the people in the congregation, praise the Lord, the minister's got saved. yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I know, God works in amazing ways.
Yeah.
Those who are in, I mean, he's talking, as Mike is talking, people in power who know what they're doing and they're intending to do what they do,
yeah.
God says, I've got serious words with you to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it because they're afraid to
it's power, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's power. That's all I can understand it as.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say it again. I keep repeating myself on this one. I look at how, I mean, I've been around a few years, not quite as long as you, brother, but you've seen a few prime ministers in your time.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And when they come into office, sparkling, and when they go out, and you think,
I've seen a lot of church ministers as well.
Done the same, aren't they? All right, yeah.
And I think the time is coming.
Yeah.
And it's coming fairly soon when we as Christians need to examine the word, what is a Christian?
Yes.
What
yes.
does that word mean?
Mm.
And so many people say they're Christians because they go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They use it as an excuse
mm-hmm.
for a name, for a title.
Yes.
And we need to look at it usually quite yeah. closely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I say when I went to Japan, a lady on the bus, and of course I was evangelizing as usual,
yeah.
and this lady said to me, well, I do go to church. I said, that means nothing. I said, it means nothing whatsoever.
Yeah.
I said, it's what you do, I said to her. You know, but of course, again, I was exercised. Yeah, I was exercised from the group.
Well,
you can be in Japan quite easily. I was there in 72, and they said to me, every day for Jesus. And they were in fear and trepidation that I was a spy to check them out.
Yeah.
Ah. As soon as I said Jesus, they knew.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's another story.
But, you've got God knows you. I mean, sometimes now, what do? I thank God for my home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I run my Hoover around. Some people think I might not do anything, but I'm talking to God.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, that sort of attitude, and he knows. And
yes.
You know,
there's a lovely verse I read just the other day. It says, whether you eat or drink,
mm-hmm.
or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Eating and drinking as well.
Oh, let me. From the U Vision, the Bible, and one of the verses for today's was do everything.
The glory of God, yes, everything.
That's one of my brother's
faith. Now let me just, we'll finish now, but... Yeah.